Ladies and gentlemen, the following is the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans tribute to Gilbert Gottfried.
So, I walk into a bar, and Joan Rivers is behind the bar. And behind her is a sign that reads, hand jobs, $5, sandwiches, 10. So I ask her, who's giving the hand jobs? She says, I am. And I say, well, wash your hands and give me a tuna fish sandwich.
That is an uncle joke.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans tribute to Gilbert Gottfried. May he rest in peace. God bless him in the whole nine.
God bless him.
And obviously that was one of his jokes that I tried to do justice to just now.
Did a good job. You did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I rehearsed that a few times. Ladies and gentlemen, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, Stephen Van Patten, that's me. Joined, as always, by three of my favorite humans. Denise Tapscott, who, you know, she gave me the intro there. That was hot. Kirk Johnson, Mark Abbott, drinking something. And, all right, so let's start off with a joke that I don't mind disclosing. It's from the upcoming episode of The Tonight Show, which I happen to fill in on today. And the joke was basically, it was a poll. A poll joke, so to speak. And the question behind the joke was, do you understand what's going on in the Moon Knight series? And so the joke sort of layers out to 10% say yes, 90% say yes, as long as there's no follow-up questions. So, and I don't think I'm going to get in trouble for sharing that. I mean, the Tonight Show will have aired by... within, you know, in like a half hour or whatever, by the time we post this episode. As part of the 10% that does understand what's going on with Moon Knight, you know, I'm comfortable with how the show is progressing so far. Keeping in mind, of course, that, hey, let's start being honest about what Disney is doing. Disney is digging deep into the Marvel bench. And they are producing these series. And so here's the thing. Whether you, the viewer, dig every single episode of said series, what is going to happen is the first episode will be mildly intriguing. The last episode will be some balls to the wall. Oh my God, I've never seen anything quite so cool, especially based on this obscure fucking character. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you finish watching that, another series is ready. Let's just call it what it is. Because here's the thing, a Moon Knight movie, a Moon Knight, you know, series, ooh, you know, that's the game we're playing. And if it becomes, so Moon Knight's over, but then Obi-Wan is, oh shit,
right.
Obi-Wan's ready.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not mad. I'm not mad at them at all. It's a business model. It is what it is.
I'm just mad that we're not in it right now.
And then there's that. But I mean, let's also face it, the four of us would have to, we'd have to start working out a little harder if if we were taking on certain parts.
Character roles?
Yeah. Absolutely.
True.
This is true. You know, even the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are, you know, they have like six packs.
Yeah.
But Steve, it's Beef Wine Shenanigans. We're like icons already in somebody else's mind.
Also very true.
we can literally go on as Beef Wine Shenanigans doing a podcast from Egypt. And Mark's like, did y'all see that? Like, there's a nigga in a cape.
Nothing.
And then you go, and then Steve goes, yo, that's Moon Knight.
Right, because Denise is like, I'm the only
Moon,
one that actually read the fucking comic.
Right, exactly.
As a kid.
And Denise goes, Moon what? And that's being white in angles. That's literally our spot. That was our spot.
No, I'm good for that. And you know who I'm really, really jealous of? All these motherfuckers who are like anchor folks at New York One who get to kind of just pop in. And I know when they're sitting in the studio and they get this copy, they're like, wait, what the fuck am I reading? This is about a werewolf. Like, they have to be bugging out. Like, what the fuck is this?
That'd be awesome.
But then they see the check and they're like, wait, and I'm getting to be in a Marvel movie? All right, fine, whatever.
Right. And residuals? Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, you know the sad and funny part would be of that conversation. Mm. I was like, huh, I gotta find out for my kids who the hell this Moon Knight is. Hey, Billy, Brenda.
Kids probably don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. They were like, kid, you guys read comic books? What's a Moon Knight? And they're like, a what? Is he in Naruto?
Right.
Is that in the anime, Daddy? Yeah, that'll be
the
conversation.
Did he beat up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Because otherwise, right. I don't know who the fuck he is. Right.
Right.
Exactly. Moon Knight is an obscure.
So obscure.
Is an obscure character. Mm-hmm. And so that episode of Comic Book Men that I'm in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a Moon Knight conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it was so it was funny because the comic book men guys, they gave me like mad respect
for
shit I was dropping on them real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you, the only thing that really spoiled that experience was because, you know, they don't have a lot of African Americans on that show. So when I walked into the store, the producer was like, oh, yeah, we're going to close the season out with some flavor. I'm like, word, that's
boo.
Doing this. Yeah.
You know, in another world, they'd be like, Niggy bought hot sauce?
Exactly.
Niggy bought hot sauce?
But I'm enjoying it for the most part. It has its, like Kirk's favorite sci-fi vehicle, The Expanse. Moon Knight. Right. Is proving to be one of those things that you can't watch while cleaning the house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Right.
No,
or even washing dishes. It's like you actually have to sit and pay the fuck attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
You know, that at least that's my thought on it. Mark, how are you feeling?
I'm having a difficult time with it. Only because I can't figure out how I'm going to cosplay this in the fall. I've been trying to figure out whether or not
is that a cape, nigga? A cape, nigga?
I don't know if I just need to buy a whole lot of Ace bandage and wrap myself up. I mean, I'm actually enjoying it. I actually went back and watched all three back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Just to catch little nuances and everything. I see there's going to be, or eventually there will be, some kind of connection to the Eternals. With this series, there was because there is that sequence where he's meeting with all the gods and they make mention that we've just been watching from afar and we don't interfere.
But
the Eternals are basically doing. There is a rumor. I work with a guy who he's like deep into comics. This guy loves his comics. I don't know, but he said he had heard that the Why am I skipping this guy's name? The main villain. The actor.
Oh, shit. Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke supposedly, they don't know if he was joking or not, divulged that he may or may not be Dracula.
He becomes cursed.
He is making some, which now leads me to wonder, since I did not know this about the Eternals, that the last scene in the Eternal, you know, the thing after all of the credits, that the individual that was speaking to the guy about the sword was Blade.
Yeah.
Oh, I so thought now, we talked about that too.
But I mean, I didn't know when I saw it. So I'm wondering if there is some form of Eternals / Moon Knight somewhere he's going to make an appearance, whether or not all of that's connected in some way, would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I think why I had to go back and watch it, rewatch it again, was because I couldn't figure out the whole his traveling and whether or not that was like, you know, he'd wake up and he'd go to sleep in his room and wake up in the desert and then he'd get into a fight with somebody, blackout, and then wake up someplace else. I couldn't figure out whether or not that was a situation with like with the show Legion, where a lot of this was going on in his head. Or whether it truly was a factor of split personality that, you know, somewhere along the way with all the gods involved in this, they're moving him like a chess piece.
But,
like one of the gods actually knows what's going on and they're the ones that almost maybe manifested a third. I mean, the personalities in them.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it's a lot of fun to watch. And I always like watching shows with obscure characters because it's fresh. You know, you're not walking in it. There are people who are absolute fans walk in and, you know, they're happy to see their favorite character on the screen. But it's kind of nice not to know much about him and just kind of follow this Marvel universe and see where they take him. I love the fact that he switches between the
cloak. Steven and Mark.
Well,
the suit and the cape.
I love the fact that he jumps between the two of those.
Yeah.
And because it always reminds me, the suit always reminds me of the night we were in the bowling alley.
Yes.
And that cat walked in as Moon Knight. And we're all like, wow.
But he was the
Steven.
As we have now learned, he was the Steven Moon Knight, not the Mark Moon Knight. So yeah, and that's also cool. So the funny part of us having in Beef Wine and Shenanigans a Steven and a Mark. you know, obviously there's I'm waiting for Kirk to say something hilarious. Because I'm sure he's working on it. It just he hasn't quite figured out it
Look
out.
Look at that
yet.
Smile.
Whether it's like imagine it's going to be something to the effect of it's kind of funny how in Moon Knight we have a mean Mark and a nice Steven, and then in Beef Wine and Shenanigans we have the opposite. I guess. I'm sure he's working on that.
I'm saying because there's already, you know, we have it. I mean, they've teased it already in this last episode of Moon Knight that there is a third personality.
Yes,
and in the comics is a third personality.
In the comics, that is true.
Oh wow!
I was talking to somebody at work and realizing I saw something also on YouTube about it, how the personality, they might actually switch him up because in the comics, and you can call me out if I'm wrong on this, Steve, Jake, the taxi driver, Jake, because you have the billionaire mercenary of Mark Spector. You have the nerd of Steven, of Spencer. Steven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you have Jake, the, you know, blue collar taxi driver, supposed to be like a good natured kind of in between the murderer and the nerd.
Yes.
But it seems from this third episode that we just saw, you know, even Mark was like, what the fuck just happened? And Steven's like, you killed them all. And he's like, that wasn't me.
He's like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Right. Yeah.
So so that means that Jake, they're getting ready to introduce the third personality, but that Jake is not the Jake we know from the comics.
Oh, wow.
That Jake is a straight up, like, what's the word? That motherfucker is a straight up murderer. Like, one's a soldier. One's a soldier. One's an academic, an intellectual, and a coward. And the other one's a straight up, I don't give a fuck. And that is the curious one I'm curious about, because, you know, you have, for lack of a better term, you have the hero. Like they have it in all the CWs. They have the hero, the desk jockey, for lack of a better term, the computer jockey, right? And then you have the villain, right? In Red Flash.
Yeah.
You have the villain, the anti-hero villain. So now you have these three guys in one. So you have the hero, the academic, and then you have this guy who's not on the spectrum at all. And I'm curious to see not just the amount of damage we'll see him do, but how does Steven and Mark actually come to grips with the idea that, holy shit, we have a sociopath as part of our trio.
Wow.
And that's a scary idea, because, you know, once you realize what once I finally understood what a sociopath is, i.e. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, it becomes a different story, I think, and it becomes such a scary story, right? It's the werewolf. It's Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of like Superman, like good Superman versus the evil Superman, then you have Clark Kent.
Right. Oh, yeah, you have Bizarro Superman, real Superman, and then you have Clark Kent. I'm intrigued, I should say. And see, because I was lukewarm in the first and second episode. But the third one, when that showed up in the third one, I was like, you know, Steven's thinking Mark did all this bloody shit and Mark didn't.
Yeah.
Right. When he's fighting those dudes on the roof, he's not. He wasn't using any lethal moves. He wasn't using the knives to do anything to him.
Right.
He was just knocking them out, throwing them around, and shit like that. Like, oh shit, that's a hero. He ain't trying to kill nobody.
Yeah.
Then he wakes up and he's like, oh shit, what the fuck happened?
Right. Like, blood everywhere.
Oh my god. Right. My god, that's not cool. I'm intrigued.
So, I guess there's a couple of things there. So, since we brought
that nigga needs to see a therapist.
It is like dream team.
That nigga needs Blade or something. He needs
that. So Mark brought up the Eternals and Blade and everything else like that. So here's where that was a little odd, in the sense that, like, and the thing is, I've not read every comic book in the history of comic books, but okay, when you're watching the Eternals, you're watching Kit Carrington, known best obviously for Game of Thrones,
King of the North,
and exactly, and you're very naive if you're thinking they're paying him whatever they have to pay him to be in this movie. For him to be just this innocuous boyfriend to an Eternal.
Yeah.
So you get to the post credits, he's apparently being set up to be the Black Knight. Yep. And then you have Blade in an off-camera voiceover when Blade has no history, or very limited at best, history with the Black Knight.
Yeah.
All right, put a tack in that. Now you have Moon Knight, who is an avatar of an Egyptian god.
Which I love.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. But in here's the other thing that's, you know, been discussed a little bit on the internet. The Black Panther has a connection to an Egyptian god.
Oh.
Not necessarily an avatar.
Best.
Not right. Not necessarily an avatar, not necessarily, you know, the same right. in the same situation as the avatars that we saw in that third episode.
Right. But there are a lot more.
But
there are
a lot more. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Egyptians were on some polytheism like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean? Because then here's the flip. The heart-shaped herb has been destroyed. And for all intents and purposes,
the connection between the two worlds.
Because of the untimely death of Chadwick Boseman, there needs to be another Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we play all of that out? That's, you know, that's going to be some interesting shit that the let's call it the fourth tier of all this Marvel shit is now going to be now compounded upon all of that. And I'm going to back up a little bit because I always thought that Marvel fucked up when, and hear me out.
Okay.
So Wesley Snipes was Blade, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, and I saw it, I was like, in my head, I'm like, they got to be getting ready to do this. They got to be getting ready to do this. And they never did it. I always thought that giving prior movie history and on-screen, you know, camaraderie or whatever, that they were going to bring in Werewolf by Night and cast Woody Harrelson.
Okay, I see what you're doing. I see that. Okay.
I saw that as an obvious thing.
White man can't bite.
Never fucking happened.
Right.
I saw that as an obvious thing. Good. That never fucking happened. But then now we have Moon Knight, who, as if you watch, oddly enough, not to keep plugging my one appearance in the episode of Comic Book Men. But the comic that we discuss in that episode is, in fact, a Werewolf by Night episode, which is the first appearance of Moon Knight.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And they were moving for about $350.
So $350?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it might actually be worth more now, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
I see how this is going to end.
Yeah. So,
with some flavor.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, I can say that.
You can.
What? Wait. So, I see what you're doing there, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll raise you.
And I'm going to raise you this.
Please. Mm-hmm.
We just had a very, very, very successful multiverse Spider-Man movie.
Oh, God. Yes.
Well, no, we had two.
Two.
Sony also.
Now,
mm-hmm.
what do you think the chances might be? Somewhere along the line,
mm-hmm.
we get a multiverse episode where Wesley makes an appearance as Blade.
Oh, that would be cool.
They open something up and he crosses in and crosses paths with the new Blade.
Okay.
And something something in that universe, either with the gods themselves or because it could be because here's the thing. Stephen Van Patten, ladies and gentlemen.
The one and only
Stephen Van Patten is the only man on this show that cleverly and correctly called out having Daredevil be Spider-Man's
lawyer.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I can't let that happen without putting my thing out there so somebody in Marvel, are you listening? Marvel, are you listening? Here we go.
Buckle up.
have Wesley come through fighting werewolf by night.
Wow.
And they both get into this
universe. And they get stuck into this universe. Mm.
And just a caveat, just a piggy bank, Mark is absolutely right due to the fact that Kevin Feige has been on record stating that Moon Knight happens after Spider-Man's No Way Home.
Mm. Ah.
So with Spider-Man villains coming through, no one paid attention to the fact that other people might have came through also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Here's what I'll add to all of this. As we are apparently picking up the biggest speculation stew that Beef Wine and Shenanigans has ever put together. Right. As I'm imagining the only person that braved the theater to go see Morbius.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You got money like that, don't you?
You get a gold star, man.
Yeah, right. My condolences.
Look, I am true to the craft. Look, here it is. Mm-hmm. So Morbius is getting mixed reviews and everything else like that. I did not hate it.
Right.
Okay.
It has problems, and I'm going to, because Mark has brought up multiverse, it forces me to now address the multiverse shit that happened in Morbius.
What? Mm.
Spoilers.
Big spoiler. Feel free to fast forward.
Spoilers.
Even though, I mean, honestly, everybody should want to hear this because it speaks to the whole randomness. If I can be honest, it speaks to the randomness of Black Knight and Blade hanging out.
Mm.
Speaks to the randomness. So, at the end of Morbius, and I'm not taking away from the overall action in whatever happens within the movie itself, but as we all know, Marvel is tricky with the fucking connective tissue. We've had this conversation before.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now it's a Sony thing, and you all know that at the end of the last Venom movie, because Sony is trying to hang on. Sony, they are literally the ex that won't give up. Sony did a whole Venom is now obsessed with Spider-Man thing after he saw some shit on the news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we can all agree on the surface is kind of like you're already eating teriyaki salmon and now you just throw an extra soy sauce on it. It's just like, really? It's like, is this really necessary?
Right. Right. All right, you don't need high blood pressure. Yes.
No. Thank you, Kurt. Yes. So what they did with Morbius, because Sony has no other fucking way to keep fucking, you know, keep it in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Multiverse shit opens up in Morbius's world. You know, the little tears in the sky thing that they do.
Okay.
And then the next thing you know, Michael Keaton is in an empty jail cell as the Vulture.
Vulture, yeah.
Sinister Six.
Yeah, but
that's Morbius, what they're setting up for.
But Morbius was not a Sinister Six.
Yeah,
character. Morbius did fight Spider-Man. Matter of fact, his first appearance in comics at all is him fighting Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man constantly, just like he fought the Lizard, he fought Morbius, he fought a few people who were fucking around in a lab because they're trying to cure some shit, and then they end up pulling the Jekyll Hyde thing, and now you've got to fight a 16-year-old with superpowers.
Right.
It's like, okay, all right, fine. But Sony, like I said, still trying to stay in the game. Sony pays Michael Keaton to, and it was almost like they transported him into this So he doesn't even know why he's in this different reality, doesn't even know this, doesn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he naturally escapes from this prison. And then in the post-credit scenes, which I'm sorry, seem forced. Now all of a sudden, he's catching up to Morbius, a character that I never heard anything about Morbius in the Vulture hanging out.
Right.
You know, and I'm, you know, and I know this is something that I probably should have Googled ahead of time before I go out saying what I'm saying right now, but it was just weird. Just like Black Knight Blade. That was like, what? Mm-hmm. This is really like a what? Because you just never heard of it. It's just never a thing. And yes, you're right, Kirk. You know, sure, they probably are setting up the Sinister Six. Morbius wasn't part of the Sinister Six. He never was. Never was. He was on his own shit, had his own issues, and he was in his own lane.
But remember, this is not the 616.
No, this is a whole new universe. I understand that. And
anything Morbius, is everything's open.
And Morbius, the way they've kind of let him out, he's got no beef with Spider-Man. Like, no right, beef
that's the one thing. Yeah,
whatsoever.
Yeah.
So well, it's just strange. Well, it's just off the cuff.
Mm.
I'm not sure I can co-sign this part of it. And the only other thing I'm going to say on Morbius now, until three of you actually sit down and gather your thoughts and opinions on it, is I really, in my heart, and I know people are going to be mad at me when I say this.
Uh-oh.
I already know I'm bringing myself some problems. I'm opening the door for some serious shit. Cannot shake the fact that Morbius, when he is in full transformed mode, looks like Michael Jackson. So, I know he's supposed to be trying to look like a bat. But the problem with already being a white guy with long black hair, and you're now transmogrifying into a bat. He's now, no, not Thriller Michael Jackson. I'm talking about hanging a baby off the fucking ledge, Michael Jackson.
He's talking about Laura Flynn Boyle Michael Jackson.
But basically, yes, and I can't get past it. It's fucking with me. And that, yeah, people are gonna be mad. People are gonna be mad because people were mad at what I thought was the best Michael Jackson. It's not my joke, but I told it to people. And there are black people who stopped talking to me because I was telling them this joke. And okay, you know, full disclosure, here's the joke. What? I can't believe I'm gonna do this. What do Michael Jackson and caviar have in common?
What?
I don't know.
They both come on Small White Crackers. So.
Oh. Oh, my flower.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Mark is dumbfounded. Mark is dumbfounded with disgust right about now, ladies and gentlemen. Dumbfounded with disgust. It is a new year. It is a new year.
I had to change my background for that one. Hold on. I'm going to throw this out there, though.
Please do.
Because it seems like tonight is the night of the multiverse answers.
Mm. Okay.
Which Spider-Man did Sony own?
The Tobey Maguire, right?
And the Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield.
Okay, all right.
And apparently, Andrew Garfield's appearance in this multiverse has sparked a huge surge in interest in him coming back.
Yeah.
If that is the case,
oh shit!
Because he never really was Marvel's. That might be the answer to why you may be getting your Morbius versus Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yes.
Because if they Sony has it in there, if the response to him, his appearance was as major as people, because people have said what is interesting is that the Spider-Man movies that he was in are the ones that people don't like. Yet when he showed up, people were cheering like crazy in the theater. Sony took notice of this. So it is a possibility, since they still own that Spider-Man, that they may decide with the multiverse, putting Morbius and that
Spider-Man.
Because he's the Amazing Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
We already know there was the Amazing Spider-Man, there's Spider-Man. Marvel kept doing this, like,
and did he not mention something about him kind of quitting the Spider-Man thing in No Way Home?
Yeah,
he was like the emotional one. He was the kind of like the depressed Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and having and for Morbius and the end of Morbius, having that seam open up in that Morbius does open up for Andrew Garfield Spider-Man 3, the Amazing Spider-Man 3.
It's a possibility, because the way. Because Sony's slick. Sony's like...
They're not very artistic, but they're slick.
And like, we got something we know y'all want.
They have trouble with good movies, but they slick.
Because it's funny when you think about the fact, it's like they're doing like some old school 1940s Hollywood maneuver where it's like Spider-Man on loan from Sony.
You know what? I see that as a step up. I mean, it's no longer loaning people anymore.
You're loaning
intellectual property.
It's like, oh,
I'm loaning IPs
you
now.
You want the Spider-Man for your movie. That's interesting.
That's funny.
So it might be that might be Sony's little maneuver to still hold on to Spider-Man at this point, because actually that's one of the only other, I mean, well, they got Venom and they got Morbius and stuff, but I mean, that seems to be the one piece of property that Marvel is willing to go, all right, you guys want to keep messing around with that, go ahead, and we're not, you know, until something major. Unless they do something major that works, and then it's like, oh crap! Now we got to have a renegotiation about how y'all are doing things over there.
Yeah. I feel Disney already made like a 40-year plan on that whole thing. Like, you think Sony will ever actually get it together with their movies? Maybe not in 40 years. Right, 40 years it is. 40 years it is. 40 years
it is.
Sign right here.
Disney pulled the old Bruce Wayne on folk when Fox was like, we're not giving up the X-Men. Okay. We just bought you. It's like, what happened? Yeah. Now you're part of our family now. Mm-hmm. What did Lucius say in the movie? Didn't you get the memo? it's like you work for us now.
Because so. Now they're right. Well, they were, I mean, I found it interesting because I'll be honest, because you know, they labeled Iron Man was a C-grade character. Mm-hmm. He wasn't Captain America, he wasn't Spider-Man, he wasn't the Hulk. Right? He was C-grade. So he came in the Avengers and he had his own little thing going, but the Avengers really is what solidified him as a team. As part of a team. And I thought that was great. That was actually a brilliant idea, is to take your C grade or your obscure character, build him, give him a movie, and you know, just look what happened.
Yeah.
I I always imagined that that's a formula they would use for the Moon Knight. Because the Moon Knight is, for lack of a better term, not even a C. He's like a D-grade character. Mm-hmm. You can literally do almost anything with him.
Yeah.
In terms of character development.
Yeah. Well,
in terms of character development, I mean, and have him have his own movie and actually have him set up for three movies because, you know, you get the right director. Well, you get the right director who knows the character and loves the character as much as what's his name?
Favreau.
As much as Favreau right. loved Iron Man.
Yeah.
Get like, you know, a Steven Van Patten to direct the Moon Knight movie, who mm-hmm. has a love of the lore and understands the lore mm-hmm. and is willing and understands it enough that he knows how he can change the characters and the motivations to create a character arc that people will latch onto.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And give them a movie, because you can give them a movie like that, right?
Yeah.
You have three personalities, you know, by the second movie. Yeah. He's in conflict with all three personalities. He discovers three personalities in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Second movie, he's in conflict with all three personalities. And at the third movie, his own third solo movie, they come together as a fighting unit or as a working team within a team of the third, you know, Moon Knight movie. And then you can kill him off in the big Avengers 7 movie, because in Avengers 7, everybody's a team. And you have one guy who has a team of his own, right? You have a team with one guy who has a team of his own, and he's trying to figure that shit out.
Like
finally figuring that out in his own movie.
Yeah.
Right. Saves the galaxy in the last Avengers movie, and one of his personalities has to bite the bullet.
You know what? That makes sense to a degree. Because things have changed with the introduction of streaming. This whole thing has become a completely different thing, because it's like now instead of a 2-hour Moon Knight movie, which may have been good, may have been bad,
right.
Now it's, you know, going back to the business model thing. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's the introduction, the slow build.
Right. Let's stream the shit out of this.
Yeah.
You know. Flashes of brilliance, blah, blah, blah. Trust me. The season finale, whether you watch the other 8-9 episodes, whatever the fuck, the season finale is going to be bananas.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the best things you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. And then they're going to drop Obi-Wan right behind that. And then that's going to, and that's the thing. That's because ultimately it's like, I can't stop paying for this subscription because these motherfuckers keep dropping bananas.
Right. Like, I didn't expect Hawkeye to be good. Like, they just keep.
And what I say.
And that's what I said to somebody at the lighting director at Tamron Hall. I had this conversation with him because, you know, we were like doing a quick nerd out. And we were like, wow, shit is bananas. It's like, yeah, it's like, did you ever think as a kid going into Forbidden Planet, just randomly picking shit out, that you were going to be watching a Hawkeye series and enjoying it? Right. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, they got us. And part of that, going to a point that Kirk was making, not everybody in the world was reading Iron Man comics. I mean, I'm sure a lot of those, like, if you actually went back into the actual history of, you know, which mag was lit and which mag wasn't, and which magazine needed like a constant visit from Wolverine just to kind of keep it floating,
right? Or a team, or they needed a team to just sell to push product.
All of that,
yeah.
Think about it. So you get it. You get the technology. It's time. So you get these first three movies, Thor, which without certain visual technology would never have been a sellable movie, because Asgard. The reason that movie works is because Asgard looked dope.
Yeah,
that's the only, like, if that shit had been like low rent in any way, Thor would have never flown.
CBS.
Right.
But Steven's right.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Very, very smartly treated as a period piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that fucking hooks people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically find Tony Stark in real life and cast him as Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's not acting in that movie, folks.
That's who he is.
Right.
He's,
I'm sorry.
That's who he fucking is.
Hold on. Let's see. In another universe, it wasn't Isaac who became Moon Knight. It was Joaquin Phoenix.
Damn.
When you said Iron Man, they found the real Iron Man in real life to play. They found a real Tony Stark to play Tony Stark. In another universe, they found the real Mark Spector and Steven.
Joaquin Phoenix.
That nigga got a lot of personalities on him.
You know, I'm with that. I'm totally on board.
I just love that.
What's that movie? Consequences, Joker? New Mexico.
Yeah, Truth and Consequences.
Consequences, New Mexico. Yes, I 8mm 100% on that.
8mm. God.
Yes, 8mm. Folks, just pull out the notepad and start writing shit down. We're just dropping shit. And
Joaquin Phoenix is the Marlon Brando of our time.
And you're absolutely right about that. You are absolutely right about that.
As Joaquin Phoenix is the Marlon Brando.
Not too long ago, you know, sat through Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
And not long before, you know, before that, Last Tango in
Paris.
Last Tango in Paris. Mm.
The Apocalypse Now.
Brando was bananas. And you're absolutely right with that assessment of him. And that would be brilliant. Absolutely. So it's just kind of like keeping on track with that, it just in terms of business. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got everybody like emotionally invested in Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But then you, because of contract shit, in order to keep him, you got to start paying him like, oh, I might as well buy Haiti money.
Yeah.
So you got to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But you kill him in a way that traumatizes motherfuckers. And y'all can front on me if you want. But, and the lead up to his death is for Spider-Man to come back and for him to be like, oh shit, I brought my son back from the dead.
Yeah.
That was the look he had on his face. I'm sorry. Yeah. If any two scenes in any movie have ever fucked me up, one was from The Color Purple, and two was that shit with him and Tom Holland. Hey, Mr. Stark, I'm back.
Hold on. Not Yondu and Star-Lord. He might have been your father, three. But I'm your daddy.
Okay,
that
didn't
make you terrible.
That was good. That's three. Fuck, Kirk. Jesus Christ. I got to whip all my emotional shit out tonight.
So what damn.
You're amongst friends, baby.
Yeah. Okay.
This is true.
I be crying all the time on Marvel movies.
I bet you do. No, and of course, yeah, the whole... Yeah, it's like that Guardians of the Galaxy shit. That was fucking fucked up because... You know, you got Kurt Russell being the fucking ego. Like, right. Obviously that was, that was.
And Merle being the real daddy.
Yes, Merle. Merle, otherwise racist as Merle. No, I love that guy.
Yeah, right.
I love that guy, actually.
No, fucking Henry, the portrait of a serial killer, that guy.
Michael Rooker, I actually love that motherfucker.
He's Henry, the serial killer.
He's awesome.
I really wish we could be in the writer's room when these guys write this out, because it's one of those things where it's like, I'm trying to remember, I was talking to somebody last week about the guttural reaction to the end of the first Infinity War movie. And how everybody, like, I was trying to remember what movie as a kid it was Empire Strikes Back.
Absolutely.
I was saying to somebody that I remember at the end of Empire Strikes Back as a kid, just kind of sitting there going, wait, this isn't supposed to happen. Like,
right.
I was comparing the scene, like when Spider-Man dies.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
That scene when Lando says there's still a chance we can save Han, and they get to the loading dock and Boba Fett is taking off, and that look on Leia's face, sort of like, oh no. And then it's like, but what? I'm like the kid in the Princess Bride. Who killed Humperdinck? well, nobody. You mean he gets away? Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like you're not to, like, and I just remember that, like, what was so jarring for me is like watching everybody at the end of that film sitting there and just because there was no music playing during the credits. Like all the Avengers were dead. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around at everybody and I'm like, so we are all not aware that there is another movie coming that that Doctor Strange did say there was one possibility. Like everybody, people walked out like they had lost family. It was like, I think the last time I was that upset with an ending was when they shot Omar.
Oh, shit. Really?
On the
wire?
No.
On the wire?
Wait,
my wife would tell you, I walked around for 3 days,
not,
man.
Not String a Bell.
Not String a Bell. No.
No, Stringer had it coming. Yeah. Omar, it was, you know what it was? Wait. It was how he went out. I was like,
you know.
So let me get this straight.
Right.
So this is it, kid.
The stick-up man who has caught everybody off guard.
That's what it was.
By a 10-year-old.
By a kid. Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
I'm sorry, Mark. Real quick, this is not, and I'm not. This is not a dig on you. This is like me realizing that because did you grow up with the kung fu movies, the martial art movies back in the day?
Yes.
Right. And did you ever watch? See, that's what I'm wondering because you know if you watch those martial art movies back in the day, there was like a ton of them where the hero just goes.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Where the hero just like the dudes you've been following from jump and like, oh wow, he's the cool one. Oh wow, he's the brolic one. Oh yeah, they're gonna be doing it together. And then they together die and you're like this.
Oh no.
And it's like dun 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 dun.
Right. And then your dad comes in with Chinese food, like, you want some Chinese food, Kurt? No.
Nah.
And they die bloody. Right.
Hey, like, I got it. Things to do,
right?
It's like you ponder your life's existence,
right? It's like you go in the bathroom, take a hot shower, and you just realize, wow, there's a lot of blood them niggas had on them.
if we going down that road, Chinese Connection,
yes,
Bruce Lee with like what, the last like kick, and all you hear is blah 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 blah. It's like, right. What the fuck is that?
Just no, dude.
Oh, no.
Wait. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Real quick. The Chinese Connection is very different from the Two Heroes of Shaolin.
Oh,
the Chinese Connection, right. you ain't see him get shot. In the Chinese Connection, you see them dudes, one dude gets stabbed in the gut. the other dude gets stabbed in the gut. They break this dude's back. Then they looking at each other with their intestines hanging out, laughing like, ha ha, and then they die.
You're
Yeah, but you're like,
you know what? You got.
Get a medic. Somebody call a medic.
We're spoiled with these happy endings.
You know what? That's
very true.
You got to give cinema credit because I think the one time I sat there, I remember watching on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh yes.
And Blofeld does the drive by, misses Bond, and catches his wife, and. There's no music in the credits. Just the credits just start rolling. You're sitting there like, wait, what? But she made it to the hospital, right? Like, somebody, like,
click.
Right. Don't he know? Don't he know? Like triage?
Like, exactly. When you in the military, Right. Don't you think you should start driving to get help?
Right. Tear off this shirt and cover the and wrap up something.
Get a tourniquet, something.
You're on the way home. Don't you know first aid, motherfucker?
Some of the glove box? Like, come on.
Right. You got too many bullets in the car.
You for the government.
And I think we need more endings like that. Because mm-hmm. it's like because to toughen you us have up. The, mm-hmm. yeah right. because you got it like the hero doesn't always make it, you know right. it's one of those right. it's my brother
the 70s was like that a
I
lot.
Just always yeah. remember this look on my brother's face when we went to see Executive Decision.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Right,
and Steven Seagal gets blown out the airlock like in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and my brother's sitting there with his jaw open like, wait, I thought this was a Steven Seagal movie. And I'm like, that's and he's sitting, he literally was sitting there like, he gonna come back, right? He got blown out of an airlock with like, no parachute.
Yeah, but like it's the 80s spoiled us. Movie. Like, yeah, like the 80s spoiled us.
He ain't yeah. supposed to go
like that
now. Like, right. like maybe halfway through the movie. But
what? Oh, movie over.
You ain't exactly. It's like, wait, what? He's gone? Yeah. Oh. That's, yeah.
I got something for you. I remember seeing it talking about really horrifying endings to heroes in movies. I went to see Akira in the movie theater.
Oh.
And my boy, me and a whole bunch of other brothers from City Tech in college, mm-hmm. we went to see that movie in the Village, actually, also. Like, Film Forum, I don't want to say it, the Film Forum. And at the very end of Akira, and my boy has a bad stutter. So at the end, there's that whole big blast, a glow of destructive light, and the screen goes glowing white, and you're sitting there and it's illuminating the screen and everybody's sitting and you see all the heads of people in the theater like quiet, dead quiet, and my boy in the right on time, my boy was like this, what does it all mean? with the stutter and everything.
Oh god!
I shit you not, he did that and the entire theater just started laughing. Because that was the bleakest shit we've ever seen. And one tall black dude in the audience with a stutter.
Yeah, blow it. What does it all mean?
I'm sorry, Steven. That's still one of the creepiest endings. That what, image,
Planet of the Apes?
That
Planet of the Apes?
Image mm-hmm. of the Statue of Liberty in the sand.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I remember sitting there going like, wait a minute. He was on Earth the whole time?
The whole time. Dr. Zaius time. Hey, listen. I'm like, we're at an hour. So we are going to close this episode out. And we're not going anywhere. We're going to record another episode right behind this. We ain't even going to change clothes and pretend anything. I'm stopping this and we will be right back, folks. Here we go.